at 9 o'clock. Back to this evening, and more players will be striving to sustain for 60 seconds of storytelling next. Sue Perkins will be hosting Just a Minute shortly. That's after a brief detour via the concert hall, where we encounter another wordsmith.
On BBC Radio 4.
I'm Ian McEwan, inviting you to a special concert of words and music.
The author of Atonement, On Chesil Beach and Enduring Love joins the BBC Symphony Orchestra to read from his own works.
I've roamed through 52 years of my writing life to find some favourite passages. They'll be interleaved with a wide range of glorious music, and we'll have jazz singer Emma Smith in a special guest appearance. It's going to be exciting.
Ian McEwan and the BBC Symphony Orchestra.
On Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
Now on Radio 4, Sue Perkins presents Just a Minute with subjects on Tutankhamun, haggling and Canadian cuisine.
Welcome to Just a Minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, wonderful to be here. I'm Sue Perkins, and a joy to welcome you to Just a Minute. Now let me introduce you to the four marvellous and talented people who are playing Just a Minute this week. They are Paul Merton, Heidi Regan, Deliso Chaponda, and Shaparak Kosandi. It may surprise you to know that I'm going to ask them to speak on a subject that I give them for 60 seconds without hesitating, deviating, or repeating. So let's see how they all get on. And we're going to start with Heidi. First of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Now, your subject is Lord of the Rings. You've got 60 seconds, starting now.
I would say that I quite like Lord of the Rings, by which I mean that I proposed to my girlfriend using a replica of the Sauron's One Ring. She, my partner, is not so much a fan of it, which took away some of the magic of the moment. What also lessened the romance was the fact that as she tried on the item of jewelry, I shouted out, "It's a metaphor for how once women get married, we become invisible." It was a great joke to riff in the moment, and it was a great slam on the patriarchy. However, yeah.
Deliso, you buzzed.
Did I?
You did.
I did not. I just instinctively pressed it when I had patriarchy. I apologize.
Silence the woman.
Keep going.
Did you have a challenge?
I did not have a challenge. I did not even know that I pressed the button.
Well, if you can start again, I'm going to give that back to Heidi. You have the subject back with you, 23 seconds, which is an extraordinary run, if I may say, on Lord of the Rings, starting now.
I would go see each episode of Lord of the Rings every Boxing Day with my brother. When we went to the Two Towers, we had to sit in the front row, far right corner. This meant that I spent the whole episode wondering why the actors had such fat chins and necks. It was a great lesson in perspective.
Oh. Repetition of great.
Yeah.
Yes, there was a repetition.
Also, I think I said great in the first round and I didn't report myself, so thank you.
A successful challenge there. Well done. Paul has stolen the subject with 1 second remaining.
That's not enough time to talk about Lord of the Rings.
I'd like to see what you can tell us about that extraordinary work, starting now.
One of the most boring books ever written.
By a very, very valiant effort from Heidi. Paul, speaking as the whistle went. And Deliso, we are with you now, my lovely. Well, your subject is Tutankhamun.
Ooh.
Tutankhamun, your time starts now.
The pharaoh Tutankhamun was buried in his tomb with all of his possessions because the Egyptians believed that when you went to the afterlife, you would have your luggage. I worry sometimes that they were right. And when we die, we will be paupers in heaven, asking Ramesses and Tutankhamun, could I please borrow a toothbrush? Because we have appeared in the next place without any of our things. Also, Tutankhamun's tomb was said to be cursed, and all of the archaeologists who went there became ill. Some got COVID-19, though back then it was called COVID-2.
Four.
Sadly, repetition of COVID.
Tell me about it. correct challenge, repetition of COVID. 17 seconds, Paul, on Tutankhamun, starting now.
As our learned friend has just said, there is supposed to be a curse of Tutankhamun. I once met a man who said that his father was the last remaining victim of this particular spell that had been placed by Tutankhamun. He didn't die in any extraordinary way. He fell down some plain steps when he was drunk. But according to this gentleman, that was indeed...
Paul gets the point speaking as the whistle went. And Shappy, we're with you now. I don't want to give away too many of your tricks with this one, but your subject is how to become a master of deception. You've got 60 seconds to reveal all, should you wish, and your time starts now.
I am an expert at the master of deception because I am not really Shappy Core Sandy. I am Tutankhamun. I have arrived here to tell you all that all of your possessions are in my vault, and you don't know if I'm telling the truth or not because I am a master of deception. My sidekick is my dog, Jamie the Girl. What she does as a Maltese puppy is pretend that she is a Doberman because she also is a master of deception. What my little hound would like to do is run around the world and pretend that she is a superhero dragon called Puffin.
Did he so?
Apologies, but it's a repetition of pretend.
It was indeed a repetition of pretend. Well spotted. Oh, people are very disapproving you're playing the game here. Well listened out for. So now we get to hear you in 19 seconds tell us how to become a master of deception, and your time starts now.
I am a nefarious and devious master of deception, and my primary method is to mislead my victim by first telling them a fact which is true, and then admitting that I lied about it, and then telling them the actual...
Paul.
Oh, repetition, sadly, of telling them.
Yes, a double telling. A correct challenge. And you have 2 seconds on the clock.
Paul's so good at this game.
He had an internal metronome fitted, didn't you? A couple of years ago.
It was painful.
I know, but it's really...
I can't sit down for more than 20 minutes.
2 seconds, Paul. How to become a master of deception starting now.
Hello, my name's Boris Johnson.
So, I mean, the end of round one. Let's check out a few scores. In joint third place, we have Heidi and Shaparak. In second place, Deliso. And slightly out ahead, we have Paul Merton. Let's move now to our next round. Paul, we're back with you again, and I'd love it if you spoke about one of the greatest film directors in history, Mr. Billy Wilder. Your time starts now.
Billy Wilder was born in Austria, and in 1933 he moved first of all to France because of the rise of the Nazis, and then on to America. He started off as a writer of screenplays, particularly a Greta Garbo film called Ninocchio, I think, and before that he became a director, and he was an extraordinarily gifted man when it came to directing films. We think of all the movies that he made that have become classics, Sunset Boulevard, The Apartment, Some Like It Hot, just some of the...
Heidi.
Oh, some, yes.
Heidi challenged.
Repetition of some.
Absolutely.
Is a correct
I'm just
challenge.
I'm so excited I heard a word and remembered.
Don't tell anyone, but that's all that's required.
Oh, yeah. I get it now.
So you buzzed in, you've got 32 seconds remaining on the subject of Billy Wilder.
Yes.
And your time starts now.
Billy Wilder is not Gene Wilder, which you might have been thinking. And he hated to be mistaken for this actor. The one he didn't like to be mistook for was in films such as Young Frankenstein, Blazing Saddles, and Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Billy Wilder hated it when...
Chappy.
I mean, obviously, I know that you have an Australian accent, but that was too much of an Australian accent.
Is that a rule?
I can dial it down.
Is that a rule?
I think it was... It was too...
What's
long
your challenge?
Hesitation.
Xenophobia is not possible.
I,
And we're broadcasting this in 2023. It might change, but...
It would be very unfair if that was one of the rules and we invited an Australian to do the programme.
I felt that there was hesitation, but also I felt that no one muddles him up with Gene Wilder, and I felt that you were talking more about Gene Wilder.
How dare you?
If you want to take this outside, we can.
So are you saying it was deviation?
Yes.
I tell you what I want to do. I mean, I'm going to say, in a way, that was a correct challenge. There was a lot about Gene Wilder. I'm going to give you a point for a correct challenge, but I am, because Heidi is a new player of the game, I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt. And I'd like you to carry on speaking. With your natural accent, it's fine, please, everyone is welcome here. Billy Wilder, with the emphasis very much on the Billy, okay? Because God only knows I love Gene Wilder, but he's not on the card, my precious.
Okay.
So, Billy Wilder, the director, you have 10 seconds, you can do it.
Yes.
You're just one long vowel sound away from that. Now,
Billy Wilder was a director who made films about men who were, one was very tidy and one was...
You had one job.
Is this a...
Chappy.
I would say deviation. I'm not sure you know who he is.
I do not know who Billy Wilder is. This is correct. I've been foiled again. Did he make The Odd Couple?
No.
Okay, no. That's the problem.
Although you could be forgiven for thinking that because it featured two of his favourite actors, Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon, but
he
didn't direct The Odd Couple.
I didn't know who he was, but I knew who his favourite actors were.
Okay, what I'm going to do, again, I'm going to give Shappy a point for the challenge, and because you're new to the game, I'm going to give you...
Please, no pity points.
No, it's not,
I've got pride.
It's not pity, I just want to get through the round.
Yeah. Please don't make me talk about Billy Wilder.
No, you...
How about if we decide you can talk about anything and we won't press for deviations? You can't have much time yet.
Yeah. You've got 2 seconds,
two seconds.
So to be honest... Just don't say film, director, or man. That's my thing, okay?
Oh, right, yeah.
Because I can't brook another challenge. Your time starts now.
Billy Wilder's remake of Lord of the Rings. Thank you.
Heidi, we remain with you.
Oh.
The subject is haggling.
Australian accent for this one, or...?
Again, your natural accent is fine. Don't listen to Shappy.
Who would have thought I'd be the racist?
Fantastic. 60 seconds on haggling, please, Heidi, and your time starts now.
There are 3 golden rules to haggling. Firstly, you must never look them in the eye. Secondly, remember they're more afraid of you than you are of them. Thirdly, if the haggler chases you, run in a zigzag pattern because they will not be able to catch up with you. I am a bad haggler, as I am a people pleaser, and I hate to upset anyone, even if it costs me a lot of money. I tried to do some haggling with my phone contract, like you're meant to do, where you have to call them up and say, oh, I would like it to be lower, and they pretend it can't be, and then you say you're going to leave, and then they say, oh, we just remembered it can be, and I hate this filthy charade.
I'm so sorry, but you said B twice.
I feel like I said so many words twice. So.
Yes, I mean, a niggling but correct challenge, I would say. But extraordinarily, you did 46 seconds, which for
well,
a
I feel very
is...
proud. Thank you.
Right, let's see what you make of this. Haggling, please, Shappy. You've got 14 seconds starting now.
I hate haggling. I'm allergic to it. I end up paying them more than what they asked for out of sheer awkwardness. It's the one Middle Eastern gene that bypassed me. I am...
Shappy speaking as the whistle went, gets the point. And Deliso, what do we have? We've got, there's no I in team. You've got 60 seconds on that subject, and your time starts now.
There is no I in team, which has always been a problem for me because I am a huge narcissist. When I am forced to work with others, I do so kicking and screaming, and I do not enjoy it at all. However, at some points, you have no choice, such as this current situation, where there are multiple of us on this panel, and I would be happier if I was alone, gaining laud and applause from all of you. But now I have to share share it with all of these other people because there is no I in team.
Heidi, your challenge.
It was a repetition of people.
It was a repetition of people. Well listened out for.
Yeah. And Delisa, I think we all feel the same.
Am I the only one here who's enjoying this?
Well, a correct challenge. So, well done. 29 seconds remaining, Heidi. On the subject of There's No I in Team, starting now.
There's No I in Team is basically the motto of the film Lord of the Rings. If you had told me that you would get four hobbits, a dwarf, an elf, and three humans to work together, I'd have called you mad, but that is what Gandalf the Wizard achieved in The Fellowship of the Item of Jewelry. What a success it was. Did you know that...
There's a real thread developing here. Whatever the subject is, you will talk about Lord of the Rings. Well done. You're speaking as the whistle went, which means you get the point. Shappy, you're up next. Oh, this is marvellous. Homebrew. Homebrew. Tell us what you can on homebrew without hesitating, repeating or deviating, and your time starts now.
My granny used to make the most incredible homebrewed beer. I'm not sure how she did it, but she would lock herself away for days, sometimes months, and come out in a big puddle of lager that smelled divine. She was entirely made of hops. No one understood how. Her mother before her spent all of her time trampling on grapes in the bath to homebrew wine, if that's a thing. Not entirely sure if that is.
Deliso.
Repetition of mother?
That was granny and...
And her mother.
Okay, yeah, so, apologies.
Yeah. But almost there. Keep listening. We've got 30 seconds. Anything can happen. Homebrew, it's back with you. I can't wait to see where this goes next, starting now.
The wonderful thing about homebrewing is that it looks like urine, but it tastes like it too. What I really enjoy is how absolutely faced you get when you suddenly remember you can't swear because you're on the radio. We all know the word that I meant. People stumble.
I don't know what word you mean.
Paul, yes, I enjoyed the challenge. I'm going to give you a point for that. But Shappy gets the subject still. We're still with Shappy's family and their ancient brewing traditions in the bath, mainly, and her getting faced. Excellent. Do write in. 11 seconds starting now.
Not a lot of people know this. It's true. The first ever bottle of beer was found on land which is known as ancient Persia. So my people have been homebrewing.
End of that round. Let's look at some scores. Deliso's in third. In joint second, we've got Shappy and Heidi. And out front, we've got Paul Merton. Paul,
yes.
Back with you. Your subject here is Between a Rock and a Hard Place. If you could speak about that for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition or deviation. And your time starts now.
Well, the saying refers to being between two places, doesn't it? Between a rock and a hard place means that either place is quite a difficult place to be. I suppose one can look at the Titanic, for example, and think to yourself, well, as that was sinking, you had the choice between staying on the ship or perhaps swimming towards what you hoped might be land or a lifeboat. Technically speaking, you weren't near a rock or a hard place. You were probably between an iceberg and endless sea. But equally, the saying can apply to that. When I was walking down Brighton Pier one day, what?
Heidi.
Was it repetition of saying...
I did not hear that, but
no.
I didn't either. I don't know what else to say.
Just took a stab in the dark.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Just chancing your arm there. Okay, listen, incorrect challenge. Paul, you keep the subject 27 seconds, please. Between a rock and a hard place, and your time starts now.
As I found myself crawling across the Gobi Desert with my travelling companion, Nicholas Parsons, we looked at each other, wondering if there was oasis in sight. We saw a rock. We thought, yes, that looks like that might be something that we can clamber towards. And on the other side of the rock was a borstal, full of very angry young men. I thought, that is a hard place. I'm not going there. There is no way we can get sustenance from these youths. Look at the anger in their faces. But then my good pal turned to me.
Well done, Paul. Expertly done. Speaking as the whistle went, gets the point. Heidi, back with you. And, oh, the boss, Bruce Springsteen. Do you have much knowledge on this? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you don't. This much we've learnt. Can you speak on the subject of Bruce Springsteen?
We will see.
We'll see. Yes. Your time starts now.
My father loved Bruce Springsteen, by which I mean he had one best of CD. Oh, the memories I have driving along, listening to songs like Born in the USA and more melodies he may have written. The thing you need to know about Bruce Springsteen is...
Paul, well, deviation, she's not once mentioned Lord of the Rings. I don't understand.
You get to keep the subject, Heidi, with 38 seconds remaining on Bruce Springsteen, and that time starts now.
The cover of his album had a picture of him in jeans with a guitar. Where did they get these ideas from?
I should imagine Gandalf the Grey. Shappy.
Was there a hesitation? No, I was very confident.
There was a little creep of hesitation there, I sensed. A little bit. I'm holding you to a higher standard because you're too good already on this show, all
That's
right?
That's harsh but fair,
So
yes.
See it weirdly as a form of compliment.
Thank you.
Shappy, correct challenge, 30 seconds, please, on Bruce Springsteen. Your time starts now.
I love Bruce Springsteen. He's one of my heroes, and his first album, Greetings from Asbury Park, didn't do all that well. It wasn't until he did Born to Run that he became very popular. My favourite fact about Bruce, which is what I call him because we're very dear friends, is that one of his children is a firefighter. They say that you've done well as a parent if your offspring don't want to get into show business, and having a child who saves lives instead of swanning around Hollywood doing what the other people burp their blood.
Wonderful stuff. Speaking as the whistle went, you get that point. Delito.
Yes.
It's your turn, my lovely. Now, I wonder if you're a connoisseur on this. The subject is Canadian cuisine.
Ooh.
Interesting. Let's see what we've got to say on it. 60 seconds, starting now.
I went to university in Canada, so I discovered that the Canucks were very into strange delicacies, often involving ice and snow. My favourite of this was found in a cabane au sucre, or sugar shack. And they would take maple syrup, pour it out on very cold water. I was trying to find a word for ice, other than ice.
Oh, do you know what? I was captivated. I was learning stuff there. Paul, you challenged.
Well, unfortunately, there's not many other words for ice. So it was a hesitation, sadly.
Yeah, correct challenge. And who knows, Delisa might get it back and we might all get the lesson in Canadian cuisine we're looking forward to. 39 seconds, Paul. Time starts now.
Well, I hope he does get it back because obviously I know very little about Canadian cuisine, but I shall give it a go anyway. When you stuff a moose, you should always use mincemeat. Because it's the best way to do it. If you invite the family round for a barbecue, get this animal onto the spit and start turning it around. You need to start cooking it around about 2:30 in the morning because it's a... Well, who buzzed then? Who buzzed then?
Me. You said start twice.
I did, yeah.
And
I started
like
twice.
Yeah.
So I'll finish.
Yeah, twice. Correct challenge, Heidi. So...
Oh, God.
Wow, let's see what you've got to say about Canadian cuisine starting now.
People in America mock their northern brothers for not having famous cuisine, but I think it is brave of them to not have any famous...
Oh. Delisa, you challenge.
Repetition of famous.
Yes.
Prove it.
Correct challenge. Well done, and you did get the subject back with 13 seconds. Your time starts now.
Paul was wrong. It is better to roast a moose than to stuff one. And the most delicate...
I so know that thing, but it's something you're really passionate about. It's the
yes,
hardest.
It's
I know
hard.
It's weird.
It's so hard.
I remember it of yore. I remember it of yore, my friend. Paul, you challenge.
Unfortunately, it was a sort of hesitation, a sort of stop, really. He ran out of words.
Well, he was impassioned, really.
He was impassioned.
He was very impassioned about the correct way to cook a moose.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I feel ashamed that I got it wrong.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. It's a correct challenge, Paul, and you get the point for a correct challenge. But I feel because we've all lent into this.
Yes.
Finally, we go to the master. We go back to Delisa to bring this subject home on the ideal, in 5 seconds, the ideal Canadian dish. Your time starts now.
Fry the moose, spin it in the air.
But without repeating moose.
I hate to say this, but it's a repetition of moose.
Of all things, the moose!
try. I did say favourite dish. Great challenge, Paul. You get the point. I'm going to make sure Deliso finishes this. 3 seconds, Deliso. Any dish. Don't mention moose. Go.
Beaver tails.
Paul, your challenge under the
rules. Well, he hesitated after beaver tails. As most of us would.
Yeah. I think he was accommodating to the slight sense of shock in the audience as he said it. He was so emphatic. You buzzed, but the clock here says 0 seconds. So with that, I'm going to give you a point apiece. A point to Delisa, a point to Paul. And let's hear, to finish that round, the whistle, please. There you go. Well, sadly, we're coming to the final round. Just sounded like you were exhaling rather than... It's like the room's gone up in temperature by about 4 degrees. Shappy, we're with you, and the subject is... Oh, I love this. Escape rooms. Tell us what you know about escape rooms in 60 seconds, please. Your time starts now.
Escape rooms are a fun fad at the moment and a really good place to go if you're between homes. For example, if you're moving house and you need somewhere to kip for a little while, just pretend you can't get out. You can stay in there with your family rent-free until the establishment closes down. And years later, they might find the skeleton of you arguing with your family going, the key's in there!
Heidi, you buzzed.
I believe repetition of family.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're a big family. I have a big family.
Correct challenge, Heidi. 37 seconds, please, on escape rooms. Starting now.
I have a quirky phobia of serial killers. So you can imagine my distaste when my friend took me to an escape room where the theme was the movie Saw. The lovely young man that let us in took us in blindfolded in the dark, handcuffed us to the wall, and whispered scary things in our ears. It was not how I wanted to spend my Saturday. My companion...
Paul, your challenge.
Well, hesitation, sadly.
It was indeed hesitation. Can I say it's not a quirky phobia, being frightened of
serial
killers?
No, I didn't.
Paul, correct challenge. 11 seconds, please, sir, on escape room, starting now.
When the Lumiere brothers perfected the art of cinema in 1895 in Paris, you could see that being an escape room. People looked up at the screen and saw trains come whistling into stations, and they thought to them...
like that. Perfect train's whistle to end that train of thought. Well done, Paul. You were speaking as the whistle went. And now for some scores at the end of the show. Pretty tightly bunched. Deliso in fourth, Shappy in third. Heidi, one of the first times she's played the game, doing magnificently in second place. And somewhere ahead, we've got Mr. Paul Merton. And there, my darlings, we have to leave you. But first of all, thanks to our wonderful players of tonight's game, Paul Merton, Heidi Regan, Deliso Chaponda and Shaparat Korsandi. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who devised this show, and of course, to our wonderful friend Nicholas Parsons, who chaired just a minute for over 50 magnificent years. We also thank Caroline Barlow for blowing her whistle so wonderfully and so loudly in my left lughole. The producer was Rajiv Kharia, and it was a BBC Studios production, and this is me, Sue Perkins, saying thanks so much for listening, and please do join us again next time we play Just a Minute.
Sue will be back for another episode next week, and you can find this and many more series of Just a Minute on BBC Sounds. In 15 minutes after the Archers, we'll be marking a Shakespearean anniversary on Front Row. More on that after the news.
On BBC Radio 4, Your Place or Mine, the travel show that's going nowhere, unless it can be convinced to get off the sofa.
We'll be uncomfortably hot for a portion of the summer. Then it'll definitely be too cold for a portion of the winter, where you're like, this is terrible. Why did my ancestors settle here?
Head over to BBC Sounds to hear plenty more, including the first episode of the new series with actor Rob Delaney.
If it's good enough for me, it might be good enough for you. Your call.
Give it a go. Yeah. Or don't. Your Place or Mine with me, Sean Keaveney, on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds, Saturday mornings at 10.